I am your host, M.H. Scott, and again, I'm going to promise you another wonderful show. Hopefully, I will have a chance to get some folks in here and make this another great show. So, you know, I may have to apologize because I didn't get a chance to do a thorough audio check, but I think I have managed to put something together here that many of you may want to listen to and check out. As I'm going through, I'm trying to, at the same time, do something slightly different, trying to do a little Facebook Live at the same time. So if you are listening to us via the internet, you can also check us out at Facebook Live. As always, we like to do our thing out here on Facebook Live. And hopefully promise you a show that may be insightful and at the same time informative, but more importantly, an education that you will never forget. So, on that note, what are we going to be talking about today? You know, early in the week, we had the scandal situation going on. So, with that going on, folks, I just don't know what to say. You know, let's think about this from a very realistic standpoint. See, I have a few folks that chimed in. Hello, Ms. Brown. Good to see you. We're going to be talking about some athletic scholarship issues and things like that, and things that may impact our children. Wow, I got my friends call, checking in from Fredericksburg. Check us out. What's going on, Big Ed? Love to see you, brother. Okay, Kelly. How you doing, Kelly? Oh, man, long time. Anyway, but it's great to see folks are chiming in on the conversation. So what I'm going to be talking about this evening, I'm going to be talking about a few different things. I think the first part of my conversation, hey, good evening there, Ms. Sherelle. And I see my man is sharing it there, and hopefully we're going to get him to chime in on the conversation as well, Jamar. Haven't seen you pop up here as far as looking at the video yet. But we're going to be talking about a couple of different things. And the first thing I want to talk about is this kneeling situation. You know, this situation has went as far as our president deciding to chime in on the conversation. And if it sounds like I'm messing with something, I am, because I'm trying to do something here that I may not be too familiar with. I'm trying to add this person into our mix here. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to be done, but I'm going to keep trying, Jamar. If not, give me a call, and I'm going to bring you in on the line with us, and that's at 917-889-2836. 917-889-2836. If you want to chime in on the conversation. But I want to try to bring you up here on Facebook Live. So let's keep on rolling with it. Hey, good evening, Kip. Kip, are you still out there in California? If so, man, that's wonderful. Glad you can chime in on the conversation. Hopefully, I know you can bring some insight, being a former athlete yourself, and at the same time having a child that played sports. But let's talk about this kneeling situation. This kneeling situation has become a major distractor for sports. And the reason why I say sports instead of saying professional sports, I want to say sports overall. Because here recently, we've had a few high school teams that decided to take a knee. And was there something wrong with that? I don't think so. Is that a disrespect to the national anthem? Is that a disrespect to our service members? Well, being a former service member myself, I would be the first one to say no. I don't feel no sense of disrespect. I understand that, you know, the our rights of freedom of speech, and folks have an opportunity to say what they need to say. So why should we hold that back? This is a silent, peaceful protest. This isn't a rally. This isn't somebody out here that's trying to cause some hate and discontent. This is a silent, peaceful protest. Something that is simply being brought up. Okay, good evening, Karen. Hey, cuz. This is something that simply, what's up, Big D? Something that's simply being brought up to bring some awareness to what's going on. Some awareness to what's going on. And this silent, peaceful protest, simply letting folks have some real consciousness on what's happening in our community. Now, it's not anything that's really and truly driving nobody over with a car. We're picketing, we're protesting, we're marching, doing all these things that may be disturbing in the community. That's not the case. A silent, peaceful protest. So, my first question would be, and share this with family and friends, because I love to see as many folks as possible join in on this conversation this evening. We're also live on Blog Talk Radio. You want to call in and join in on the conversation, I'd be more than happy to have you on the line with us at 917-889-2836, 917-889-2836. Call in. Give us a ringy-dingy. Let us know that you're out there and that you're hearing this show, or you can check us out via Facebook Live. Now, with this silent, peaceful protest, it seems that we've had something that caught the attention of our President of the United States. And in doing so, it has become very interesting that he feels the need to chime in on the conversation. I'm not sure exactly why, but he felt the need to chime in on the conversation. That's his prerogative. Again, freedom of speech gives him the opportunity to speak upon those issues, and I have no problem with that. We as a people should have no problem with that. Now, are there more important things that he could be addressing? Probably so. But are we going to waste a whole lot of time talking about that? Definitely not, not on this show. But I do want to talk about how a number of high school athletes from across the country have decided to chime in on this protest, have decided to take a knee. In an article that I pulled up here recently, it talks about, I'm trying to find a date on this article. It was an article that actually ran on the Associated Press. But you can go out there and you can Google the article. It talks about high school athletes are kneeling during the anthem. High school athletes are kneeling during the anthem. Is that a problem? I don't see it being a problem because of the simple fact that If that's what they choose to do, that's what they choose to do. There could be so many other things that could be happening out there on that field than us worrying about high school athletes choosing to kneel during the anthem. Well, it goes on to talk about how a football team in practice. And the article starts out with something that I find to be extremely crazy. It talks about our president, President Trump, attacked the NFL on kneeling during the national anthem. But now it has made its way to the high school level. Again, is there a problem? I don't see one. So it talks about this week a number of high school sports teams saw students protesting now I need you to check this part out, or school officials forbidding them to do so. Forbidding them to do so? For real? Hold on. I need to do some serious thinking on that thought for a minute there. First, we take prayer out of school. Okay, because we are a smorgasbord country, and we have a lot of different nationalities and religions, and that doesn't come into play for everybody. I got that. But they do have a little moment of silence. No problem with that. But now we turn around and we're going to forbid some children. And this is why I want to take it. We're going to forbid children speaking out and voicing their opinion. Their opinion. Now, we're going to stifle them from being positive voices or active voices in our community because we as school officials want to forbid them from doing so and taking a knee. Well, let's look at a number of schools that chose to take a knee during this week's protest. Jackson High School in Jackson, Mississippi, the football team knelt during the national anthem. Applaud to them. Applaud to them. Definitely applaud to them. Trap Academy in Kittery, Maine, 9 members of the girls' soccer team knelt during the national anthem. 9 members of the girls' soccer team knelt during the national anthem. Again, I say applaud to them. New Cherry High School and Evanston Township High School, okay, 2 separate high schools in Chicago, 19 players total knelt during the national anthem. Again, applaud to them. Okay, Green Oaks Performing Arts Academy, Shreveport, Louisiana. Students playing to link arms. Big applause to them for speaking out. And last but not least, as reported as of right now. Now, there could have been a few others that didn't get the press or for whatever reason, somebody forbid them to press that or print that or make that known to the public. And this is Lakeview Centennial High School in Garland, Texas. 8 football team members knelt during the national anthem. Again, big applause to them. I say that and will continue to say that because of the simple fact that, folks, let's think about this. These children felt the need to bring some attention to, and I say children, because I want you to remember that they are children. Now, when we're talking about professional athletes, folks will say, well, they're getting paid. They're getting paid to provide a service to entertain us. Well, they are entertaining. They're informing you, too. But let's bring it back home, a little closer to home. These children felt the need to bring attention to a situation. Now, I had a chance to see what the Cowboys did last week, I believe, during their game or prior to their game, the starting of their game, where the owner and all his other folks, they got down, they took a knee, and then the next thing you know, and I'm not Cowboy fan, pro, whatever, that's not where I'm going. So they took a knee, and just as the national anthem started to play, they all rise and link arms. Well, what was the purpose of taking the knee at the beginning if you were going to rise for the national anthem and link arms? One thing I want to know, because I don't want to make this conversation focused around whether or not they're going to take a knee or not take a knee, or disrespectful or whatever. Let's simply say that they're trying to bring awareness to a situation that's happening out here in our society. And that situation being police brutality and all the other things that go along with the senseless killings that have been at the hands of law enforcement. That's awareness, folks. That's something that needs to be addressed. Because mainstream media is not pushing it enough. You know, so who can we depend on to get that word out there? Somebody that's seen on a regular basis, our young athlete, whether or not we're talking about middle school, whether or not we're talking about high school, whether or not we're talking about college, or whether or not we're talking about professionals, our young athletes, bringing that awareness to the public to let them know enough is enough, what's wrong is wrong. Now, in looking at the same article, and I told you that there were some that was actually forbidden, and that part in itself kind of like made me wonder. Forbidden, or as the article states, schools punishing protesters. Now hold on, now wait a minute, you mean to say if my child speaks out or decides to take a knee, not being disrespectful to anybody, not causing any type of uproar or any type of chaos or anything else, any other type of disturbance, or he or she decides to take a knee, that child will be punished? Schools punishing protesters. Let me give you a few names here. And if you're a parent and you're in that state, or you know someone that's in that state, by all means, call in. Give us some update. Give us some insight on how was that reported in your particular area. I'd be interested to know. It has Parkway High School. And Bossery Parish, Louisiana. Parkway High School. Bossery, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, Parish, Louisiana. The principal said, failure to stand in a respectful manner will result in the loss of playing time and or participation. Continued failure to comply will result in removal from the team. Oh, really? Now, if that was your star quarterback, and for whatever reason your school was able to make it on ESPN and you had a few dollars coming towards your school, would you still have that same conversation? Probably not. But even still, this is a peaceful protest, folks. It's nothing more than some children kneeling down on one knee during the national anthem. So let's not get this whole thing twisted and try to put this conversation around, oh, they're disrespecting the flag or they're disrespecting the service members. Service members ain't tied to no dang national anthem. Service members ain't tied to no flag. Service members are tied to what we do to support and defend this country. Oh, you ain't got no problem with folks burning the flag. You ain't got no problem with folks rioting because an athlete decided to jump ship and leave one team in one state, and then he goes down to another state. But you see the protesters on TV burning the jerseys, stomping on the jerseys. Help me understand that now. Help me understand that little piece. But yet and still, a silent protest became a national issue. A national issue to the point where we have had our commander-in-chief chime in on the conversation. For real? Something's wrong with that picture, folks. Next, we have Manatee County School District. And that's in Manatee County, Florida. The school district said in a statement to the BuzzFeed, I guess the BuzzFeed must be the local newspaper, that students are required to stand unless excused in writing by parents. Okay, so if the child is excused in writing by his or her parents and don't have the requirement to stand, then what? Are you going to restrict that child's playing time? So what happens if the whole entire team decides or has a note from their parent? And there's probably a little clause in here that says that this parent's note has to come in to the school long before the game time. Know why? Because that could be a showstopper. If you're trying to restrict the child's playing time, and all of a sudden, now that child takes a knee, and you have the whole entire team taking the knee. So are you going to cancel the game and have all those visitors and all them home team fans wanting their money back? No, you're not. I'd be willing to bet you won't. Continue to take a knee, folks. If that's what you so desire and that's how you feel, continue with it. Don't be discouraged by these bullies that want to hold you back from voicing your opinion or actually silently protesting. Nonviolent, silent protest. Where's the problem? Where's the problem? Okay, let's look at Holy Trinity High School. Holy Trinity High School or McGann Mercy High School or St. John Baptist High School, all in Long Island, New York. Again, students who kneel during the anthem could face could face serious disciplinary action. For real? For real. Serious disciplinary action for kneeling. Not going out there causing a fight. Not cussing out the referee or anything of that nature. Just causing, just kneeling in a silent protest. Serious disciplinary action. I'm still baffled on this. I'm still really, really, really baffled on this whole thing. Trying to see something here, folks. Give me a hot second. I'm trying to check and see if our Facebook feed is really working, because it seems to have stopped on me. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. But this silent protest thing, folks, is something real. It's something that shouldn't be discouraged. It's something that should be supported, because our children aren't hurting anyone with it. They're simply just deciding to protest concerning a cause that have been brought to their attention. So why hold them back from it? Why punish them for it? We got a couple more schools on this list here. Well, actually, there's one more school on this list. I have a school called Victory and Praise Christian Academy in Houston, Texas. Again, if you're in one of these areas and you know that your school has protested, please let us know. But I'd be more interested in hearing you call in this evening and share some information with us. Again, you can give us a call at 917-889-2836, 917-889-2836. I don't see any calls jumping up on my dashboard here, on my switchboard here. So, folks, I'm not sure exactly what's going on. And around about now, I would normally go and plug in some other information and share some quick infomercials, but since I had some technical difficulty and I'm not quite sure, trying to run this whole thing through this social media outlet here, Facebook Live, and I'm starting to see my Facebook Live, folks. Y'all falling off too. So come on, join in on the conversation, folks, or give me a call. Give me a call. Give me a ringy-dingy. Let me see if your phone number pops up here on my switchboard. But another conversation that I wanted to address was also this issue of this latest and greatest scandal in men's basketball. Now, that in itself, folks, is another great conversation. But let me say this. In every college program, and I've had the experience of standing by my son's side the entire time he was involved in college sports. In every college sports program, the head coach is normally the guy that runs the show. He oversees what's going on. So as we listen to these various FBI probes and NCAA violations and all these other things that took place, I have to ask the question, how is it that the folks that's being publicized and their face are being plastered on national television have been identified as assistant coaches? When would an assistant coach, let's ask this question, when would an assistant coach have the ability, and I know folks is getting kind of late, so you can come back and watch the rest of this at another date. I see your numbers are starting to drop. Our numbers are starting to drop here on Facebook Live. But when would the assistant coach have the ability to dish out $100,000 or $200,000? Help me understand that. Assistant coaches don't have that pay scale. Assistant coaches are not at that level. So for an assistant coach to be able to dish out $100,000 or $200,000, I find that kind of hard to believe. I really find that kind of hard to believe. I say that, folks, because I think about many of the college programs that I've had the opportunity to interact with. And looking at those programs, I realized that many of these college programs are using these assistant coaches as scapegoats. I guess assistant coaches, you know, when you sign up, you become the fall guy. So we got to that point where I wanted to bring in my man, Jamar Hawkins, and I know that he's out there somewhere. Give me a call, Jamar. Again, 917-889-2836. Give me a call. I know you're checking us out via Facebook Live, but now we want to hear from you here on the air. Call in, chime in on the conversation. Share your insight on what you have experienced over the years, because I know you interact with coaches on a regular basis as well. Again, the number is 917-889-2836. 917-889-2836. Uh-oh, folks. Think I got my man online with us.
How you doing, Mr. Scott?
Hey, I'm doing just great, brother. Doing just great. Glad you can join in on us. I don't know what happened. I had some technical difficulty. Couldn't bring you up via Facebook Live, but I see you made it on the call anyway.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening. I don't really use Facebook Live too much. So I know they have where you can invite other people in now, but I'm not really sure how to do it, so I just decided to call on in. But thanks for having me once again. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you. Anytime you want to call in, brother, you always welcome. You know how that goes. You're the man on the inside track.
I do a little something. Just here to give a little what I can as far as information. Because like you said, we've both been around some of these major programs, and we know there's a lot more to this story than what's being told right now. So I just kind of want to give a little bit of insight to what I can and kind of help people understand what's really going on out here in the recruiting world, because it's getting kind of dangerous, and we're having kids that are getting recruited at a lot younger age. So you kind of want to be knowledgeable as a parent about what's going on out here.
Let me give out some of the names of these folks that the FBI has decided to throw under the bus, and then we can rock and roll from there.
Okay.
Well, you know, you got the Arizona assistant coach, mm-hmm. Emmanuel Richardson.
Right.
And again, like I said, these assistant coaches, I think for the most part, these assistant coaches have been fall guys. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you have Auburn associate head coach, which again is an assistant coach, folks, for those of you who's not part of the game. But he just has a few more perks, and his paycheck may be a little bit better. And he probably held
that's
a position
actually,
as a head coach somewhere before.
Right, that's actually the top assistant coach. That's your top assistant coach right there. So
exactly. You got
Chuck
Person from Auburn. And
right.
Then you have the Auburn head coach.
Right.
So Auburn's whole staff is in jeopardy. Bruce Pearl. And moving right along, you got Oklahoma State assistant coach Lamont Evans. you know, and they accepted $22,000 in a bribe. Mm-hmm. Mm, okay, I got some questions on that. Okay, then okay. You have USC's assistant coach, Tony Bland. You know, Bland alleged, took $13,000 in a bribe. Okay,
mm-hmm.
got some more questions with that. Okay, then you have the South Carolina Gamecocks. This is the first university that they talk about. And then you have Louisville Cardinals. There's another
right.
university they're talking about that has some things going on. Then you have, of course, Rick Pitino from Louisville. And, you know, his name has just been plastered all over the place for a while now. You know, but then you have a couple other universities and other things mm-hmm. that's going on. Now, I'm going to let you chime in, and then I'm going to come back and try to recap.
Okay.
Well, hold down a little piece on letting these parents know how the whole process goes as far as, you know, these interactions with outside entities such as agents and financial
right.
aid personnel and all that
right.
other kind of stuff. I'm going to let you chime in at this part and share some of your insight, because I know you're
right.
also connected to men's basketball at a high level.
So in case anybody's listening, you don't know who I am, my name is Jamar Hawkins. I run Recruit 757 Basketball, which, of course, is a scouting service. So primarily what we do is, you know, it's our job to match potential recruits with colleges. Now, that doesn't come into play as when you're talking about bribes and things of that nature. We don't get, you know, we're not out here taking bribes, mostly just colleges that we have as clients. So they kind of, you know, they depend on us to help match them with, you know, recruitable kids. Now, the thing, and it's all legal, of course, it's all legal. It's nothing, you know, to do with any bribery type of situation. Now, the thing where you're getting into with FBI probably what's going on is that you have college coaches that are, AAU coaches that are getting kickbacks, you know, monetary kickbacks from these shoe companies. Now, the thing is, okay, when did this even start? Because we've always had travel basketball, you know, since, what, 70s, 80s. But now you have where we've had the shoe companies that have pretty much infiltrated, you know, grassroots basketball, which is what our high school kids and our, you know, our younger kids play. So what they're really trying to do is they're trying to develop relationships with those top 1% of kids. So they don't necessarily worry about when you have the guys that maybe ranked thousands in the country or whatever. What they really want is those top 10 kids every year. They want to eventually sign them to their shoe companies when they become professional athletes. So the long-term goal is, of course, they want you to go to, let's say, if Adidas sponsors Kansas University. Obviously, they want you to go to that university, but long-term, what they want to do is sign that kid to Adidas shoe deal. So what's going on right now with FBI Pro, the FBI kind of taking a look at, hey, why are these kids going to this Adidas-sponsored school or this Nike-sponsored school and then in turn eventually signing with a, you know, a Nike agent or a Nike shoe contract? So it's basically everything is blowed up because you've had the point where the college coaches are not even necessarily dealing with parents anymore. Now they're dealing with AAU coaches. They're dealing with, you know, handlers, which are basically guys that act as agent for high school prospects. You know, they try to get deals from, they try to get monetary kickbacks as well. So we kind of, as you know, Mr. Scott, we kind of muddy water. I don't think it's too many major programs can say that they haven't done it. I heard maybe about 75 to 80% of all major programs are involved in this investigation. So that will include your schools like your North Carolinas, presumably your Dukes, your Kentuckys. Of course, Louisville has come out, South Carolina, Auburn. But to be honest, Auburn is an Under Armour school. Under Armour is fairly low when you're talking about shoe companies that have been involved in this for a long time. So you really got to look at your Nike schools and your Adidas schools. This is where you're going to find where most of the money has been funneled. Now, I know earlier you mentioned that the assistant coaches, what is their role in it? Honestly, the assistant coaches, most of the time, they're the ones that's out recruiting before the head coaches. So they're the ones that establishes that initial contact with their high school with AAU coaches. That's where the assistant coaches come into play. Now, what's happening is that being that the head coaches, they're not really hands-on with this stuff, the assistant coaches become the fall guys. Now, whether that's intentionally or not, which it probably is, it's kind of sad, but at the end of the day, the college coaches, they can claim, you know, since they're not hands-on, they were negligent. They would rather claim negligence than that they were the ones that actually did it. Negligence, that may get you a fine, but it won't cost you your job. Now, when you look at someone like Rick Pitino, now you have someone like Rick Pitino who claimed negligence, but he's also been on the radar for the past 2 or 3 years. So, you know, Louisville had no choice but to get rid of him. You get a guy like Roy Williams, and you see it with the academic scandal. Hey, I didn't know what was going on. You know what? You probably didn't because you weren't there, or we can't directly tie you into it. Therefore, we can't hold you accountable. So that's what you see going on. The FBI, they know exactly what's going on, but they want to use these assistant coaches to flip on the head coaches and the higher ups. So that's what's going on right now.
Well, you know, Jamar, you brought up a good point, man, and I appreciate you sharing your insight and mm-hmm. that wealth of knowledge that you bring to the table. Now, as we think about the overall picture,
right?
You know, and we think about, and this is one thing that really caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
As we talk about the different schools that have been identified and the different executives that have been caught up in this scandal, this FBI probe, you notice that you don't hear a whole lot about Nike schools.
Not yet, anyway.
Exactly. But they're bigger in the market than Adidas. And you
Absolutely.
Know just as well as I know,
right.
Nike is a whole lot bigger in college recruiting than Adidas
Absolutely.
Is. And then we also look at this picture of college coaches.
Right.
Now, if I'm overall responsible for putting together the right team, I'm overall
mm-hmm.
responsible for making sure that we get those W's in the right column, or we get those letters in the right column, the W's and not the L's.
Right, absolutely.
Knowing that at the end of the day, if we don't get it, then we may all be unemployed.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I would take an interest in every kid that comes to my school,
mm-hmm.
every kid that my assistant looks at, he's coming back and giving me a report on who this kid is, what we know about the kid, what's
right.
the kid's performance level look like, when are we going to be able to sit down and meet with this kid's parents or family or whoever.
Right.
So they're giving me all this information, or if the kid doesn't have a supporting cast like a family member, then if you have, one of these, as I would say, a runner, a street agent, whoever out there,
right.
handlers or whatever,
right,
and that sounds like something from a slavery plantation, a handler. But when you have one of those people out there and they are now ready to sit down with the head coach, at the end of the day is going to be the one that's going to offer that scholarship, correct?
Right, absolutely.
At the end of the day, the head coach has to be the one that puts that offer out there. The assistant
right,
coach
absolutely.
Can talk a good game and put all the promises and everything else and, you know, buy this, buy that. But at the end of the day, even still, whatever that assistant coach spends while he or she is out there on the road, those dollars have to be turned in on an expense report.
Right. They have to be accounted for. Everything has to be accounted
All
for.
All that has
Everything.
To be accounted for. Exactly.
Right.
So
right.
I find it kind of difficult for a head coach not to be aware of the things that's going on out here with our children.
Right, and common sense will tell you that. If you're a head coach at a major university, you know everything. A logical person would. That's just common sense. A head coach at a
exactly.
business making millions of dollars, they know exactly what's going on, you know, recruiting.
Exactly. Let's think about this point as well. Where would or how would an assistant coach have access to $100,000, $200,000 to be able to supply to a family? I know through the connection of the shoe company
right.
or whoever.
Right.
But you have to wonder again, is he or she going to put themselves on the line without the approval and the blessing of their boss, who is that head coach, to say, hey, do we really want to take this chance?
Right. There's not too many assistant coaches that have what I would say the power to be able to make those decisions without a head coach. Now, you may find the rare cases where an assistant coach is trying to appease a head coach, but I doubt they would, you know, take those circumstances. They wouldn't take those measures to try to please the coach. You know, that wouldn't be the way to go. Most of the time, the head coaches are well aware of what's going on. Now, they have, like I said, it's about accountability. And Now, to this point, the NCAA, they don't have subpoena power. So they can't necessarily get your phone records, your text records. That's where the FBI comes in. And that's why people feel like this pro will be a lot different, because it's actually handled by the FBI, who does have a lot of subpoena power. They can get your phone records. They can start tossing out jail time, which, you know, a lot of those white-collar guys, they don't want to go to jail behind recruiting. So, you know, they want to kind of force the administration's hand, because we know, like you said, the pressure comes from the administration. You know, you have the coach is under pressure to win. The head coach is under pressure to win. The assistant coaches are under pressure to appease the head coaches. Basically, the street handlers, they want whatever they can get. So it's a lot of people that see the dollar signs, and the person that ends up hurting is the kid. The coach can get fired,
exactly.
He can get another job. Rick Pitino can get another job today if he wanted to get another job. So Rick Pitino is going to be hurting.
You know, that's the biggest problem that I have with the whole thing. That goes back to your boy, I shouldn't say your boy, but Pete Carroll. You know, how
right.
he was able to bail out of USC during the time of the Reggie Bush scandal. He was able to bail out of USC and ends up with a job in the NFL. That's a problem in itself. You know, you knew what was going on. You were behind the whole picture, but yet and still, you left the athlete out hanging out to dry. That's
right.
the same thing, just like you said. Rick Pitino can come up with a job tomorrow. You know,
right.
if they turned around and gave him a job in the NBA or wherever, I would have a serious problem with that.
Right. And it's unfair because it's unfair because the kid that, you know, was caught up in the probe, I mean, you know, you can't blame the kid. Most of these kids from the socioeconomic backgrounds they come from, they take advantage of the opportunity. You know, it is what it is. But you have this kid, he took advantage, and now he can't play for the year. But like we said, Pitino, if he wanted a job, he can coach. He can coach this season. The rest of these coaches, Chuck Person, he doesn't go to jail. He can coach again this season. So it's unfair to the kids who, you know, what if this kid doesn't go to professional level? So, you know, he's $100,000 in debt, whatever is the case. He can't play this year. If he doesn't get drafted, which he probably won't, because he won't have film from this year, you know, then he's the one that's hurting. Now he'll become an ESPN 30 for 30 special. That's exactly what's going to happen. So. It sucks, but we all know, and, you know, this may sound bad, but we all know this is going on, you know. But how do you stop something that the NCAA knows about as well and doesn't do anything to curb? What do you do about that?
Well, you throw that million-dollar question out there. What do you do about that? You know, first of all, one thing that I would bring to the table would be we as parents, we as adults, we as folks that's going to help these children make sound decisions need to
right.
be able to advise them. Even, you know, we're not there to tell them what they need to do. We're just giving them some sound advice. And
right.
that sound advice has to come early in the game. And
Absolutely.
We have to know exactly what we're talking about when we're giving
right.
them sound advice.
Right.
Because I don't even think parents understand that NBA agents can contact you before college coaches can even contact your kid. I don't think parents even understand that. It is not illegal for an agent to contact you before your kid is in high school or even before college. Now, they can't give you any benefits, but they can contact you at any point in your career. So, like you said,
well,
it's about
well,
educating the parents as well.
Well. Now, when you say contact, we have to be very careful when we'll use that word contact. And that word contact runs a very slippery slope, as they would say. Because
mm-hmm.
even if that agent did decide to contact a potential high school prospect, highly sought after blue chip type kid, whatever,
yeah.
okay, and that agent reaches out to that child. If that agent goes as far as even buying that child, as the NCAA would jump on top of, a bag of Skittles,
right.
that shows over.
Absolutely.
That shows
Absolutely.
Over.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But, like I said, they can contact. They can call. They can text. They can email. But they cannot purchase. They can't give you any type of benefit whatsoever. So they can't pay for a hotel room. They can't pay for anything. But they can call and text and email you. So, and this is even before high school. They can do this in middle school. You're a prospect in the seventh grade. You're an actual prospect in the seventh grade. So, like you said, the parents that go ahead.
But you would ask that question. Why would
mm-hmm.
an agent reach out to a sixth or a seventh grade, not a seventh grader, eighth grader, ninth grader, a kid that's still in high school? Why would an agent stoop that low and reach out to a child that has yet to really figure out what he or she's going to do? You know,
when is a person
move?
You're right, but when is a person most impressionable? When they're a teenager. So we catch them
exactly.
while they're teen. We can shape their mind while they're teen. They haven't figured out life yet. So if I'm throwing,
exactly.
I may not even have to give them money. But if I'm bringing them around, they see my big house, they see my cars, they see my, you know, my fancy clothes and all that, that's going to, you know, resonate to them. So, I mean, that's a part of the game,
yeah.
you know. You have kids that play on these elite shoe circuits, and there's a lot of people that's going to try to get in contact with these kids, even as early as 7th, 8th grade. I've seen it personally. So I can, you know, I've had someone come up and offer me money for a kid personally. So I understand this stuff goes.
That's why there's people like you and I and the folks that's watching this show this evening and, you know, other folks that's out there. Hey, what's going on, Devin? Other folks that's out there that are in tune of this process, understanding how to help advise these athletes so that they don't fall into these bad situations, don't fall into these bad traps. Don't be persuaded by these wannabe street agents and these unscrupulous agents that are stooping so low to try to impress some child by what he or
right.
she claimed to have.
Most of the time, as you found out, you can do the research and shape your child's recruitment yourself. It's just about putting in the legwork and knowing what to look for, knowing what to ask the coaches, knowing who to stay away from. But, I mean, it's just about educating yourself. Right. It's just about educating yourself on what opportunities are, you know, the good opportunities and the ones you need to stay away from. But definitely any time people start talking about money and benefits and, you know, as a parent and as a student athlete, you just want to avoid it. It's a dead end street. I can't think of anybody who's taking benefit that, you know, as like even you can go back to Derrick Rose with Memphis. It came out that someone took his SAT. He was immediately ineligible. Reggie Bush, like you said, Reggie Bush. You can go LeBron, even LeBron James. Even if LeBron wanted to play college, he wasn't able to because he took benefits as a high school student. So it just, you know, you want to.
And there's many more. there's many more that's out there because they lay prey on these young athletes. They prey on them to see if they're going to be that needy child.
Right.
Hey, I truly appreciate you joining us this evening, man. We get ready to wrap this thing up here.
No problem. No problem. Anytime, man. Like I said, just make sure we're educating folks as best as we can, man. I'm always glad to be a guest on your show. Thanks for having me.
Hey, where could we find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Jamar Hawkins, J-A-M-A-A-R, last name Hawkins. You can find me on Instagram at Jamar_Hawkins. Also, you can look up our site, ultimaterecruit.com. So that's our scouting service. A lot of great information all the time. So, you know, just look me up, Jamar Hawkins.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, Mr. Scott. Have a good one.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Well, folks, we had the opportunity to get some firsthand information from a young man that's out there in the thick of things in the grassroots. You know, where you talk about grassroots, you talk about that high grass. Hey, my man is in it. He's in it knee deep. You know, I've seen him out there taking kids across the country, doing some great things with the kids. But even more so, let's check out that level of education that he was able to bring to the table. And the insight that he brought to the table, just letting kids know on how to help avoid some of these bad situations. You know, these NCAA probes and FBI probes, first of all, I look at the FBI probe and say, okay, why is it an FBI probe? If somebody was taking money illegally, okay, something we throw towards the IRS, tax evasion or whatever. But is it really an NCAA, FBI thing? I'm waiting to see how this is all going to pan out with the FBI being caught behind it. Bribery. Okay, so they're trying to make this a criminal act, which it is, and I understand that. But a FBI criminal act? Nike wasn't involved, or Nike's name didn't come up. I'm waiting to see some other coaches' names surface in this here probe, and I wouldn't be surprised when I see some of the names. So keep your eyes and ears open, folks. We'll be talking about this and many other things here on the Parents Go to Parents Network, here on Blog Talk Radio, each and every Sunday evening at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shout out to my man, Devin Hayes. Devin, where you at now? What you doing? I know that you are trying to get your career together, young baller from way back. I remember Devin when he was in his, like elementary school days. Hey, shout out to some of the young athletes out there that's coming along. My girl Tyra, daddy was a heck of an athlete. I met him when he was probably about 10 years old, and she just followed along in his footsteps, and she's going to be the next wild that's out there. So thanks for sharing that. Lynette. Good evening to everybody. Hey, what's going on there, Mr. Stooks? I'll catch you on the next one. We're about to sign off on this one, but go back and check it out. We have some good information that we had to share, and I know you want to share some updates and insight on what's going on with your boys as well. So until then, y'all have a good evening. This is M.H. Scott here at the Parents Coach and Parents Network, and we out.